also hear examples from the ancient wisdom texts, and also something based on experience. Krishna. So let us start. We still look for our harmonium player, who should come at any moment. There is so much, let us say, inspiration which can come the moment you are committing to be in community. And just like the love which happens in human society, the inspiration, thank you so much, which we all look for so that we can be more strong. This inspiration can come in community, but only if there are a few spiritual principles which are kept alive in that community and which begin to work there and make the community alive and experience that goes beyond the ordinary human experience. I'm really reminded here of a meeting of Socrates and his disciples. The disciples came of Socrates, the students maybe is a better word, came once to Socrates and said, "Oh Socrates, when we look at you, we can see that you are free from anger and you are never jealous. You are not envious on others." Socrates said, "Anger and jealousy are also inside of me, but also I have culture." I think in a community, either the smallest community of two people or the community which we are looking for a spiritual forward, a spiritual community, it's necessary to know what elements elements of a spiritual culture you need to bring into this community life. I really think Socrates' observation was correct. Yes, he said in effect, "I'm a human being who knows about jealousy. I'm a human being who knows about anger. I have experience of all of these things which you also all know, but I have culture. I have something that regulates these." And I would say the spiritual culture is something that helps us rise beyond these very normal human things. So good. I'm slowly settling in. I'm here with my subject matter. I would like to now sing a little and then we will start. We are soon complete. We have all the distraction. We have solved all the distractions. And my hope is that you all will leave this lecture and you will know what you could do in your own community experience, what you could bring to the community so that it becomes a community of love a community that helps each single member to rise beyond these very normal human feelings that can often destroy our relationships if they are not taken care of nicely. So let us sing. I think all of you have sung already. You were singing your good name, please. Ime. Lilavati from Lilavati Gopi. From which country?
Ukraine.
Oh, welcome. We have all sung. Those who don't know the text, you can just sit and relax a little bit, go a little bit inside. Those who know the text can please join me. Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. last time, everyone, please. Hare. Welcome all of you once again, especially my internet audience, whom I had not the opportunity to greet, but also all of you who have made it this evening to come to the Skora Lila meditation, Ogora meditation. I would like to talk today about spiritual community, or more specific, about the spiritual community which is based on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his principles. There is a verse in this work, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a big work, as you all know. Look at this small type of letter here. This verse says, please, everyone, think very deeply about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will be truly amazed. You will have a sense of surprise, because what you will see is that this mercy is more like an energy that extends in concentric circles and builds something like a mandala of bhakti. The kripa, or the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is expanding from a core, about which I will speak in a little while, and then it reaches out and bridges over social differences, over confessional and theological differences. It really, the kripa, or mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bridges even over the gaps which exists naturally between the human and the non-human world. It is truly expanding from this core. Let me speak about the first circle. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, the society was really in a type of hierarchy. There were the learned pandits on top, the brahmanas, and down, really, on the bottom, there the sutras, the working class, and even beyond them, the outcasts of society, those who had been thrown out. If you study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in his kirtans, you will find brahmanas chanting next to outcasts, raising their hands in the sky and calling out, Hari Hari Bol, chant the names of the Lord. The next circle, which was influenced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, are the other spiritual schools which were teaching at that time, the different sampradayas, famously the Nimbarka, the Sri Vaishnavas, the Madhvas, and those who are from the Rudra Sampradaya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy reached also to those worshippers of the goddess, the female energy, Durga, and its many forms, the Shaktas, and even the Tantrikas. Tantrikas are people who do use a lot of what we would call magic rituals, including sexual rituals to obtain their goals. Also, totally different people like the Buddhists and the tribals, famously the Beel tribe, were touched by his mercy. I remember one incident when Mahaprabhu traveled through South India. He came to a Buddhist community, and the leader of the Buddhists saw actually that many of his followers became attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sang and danced with him in his kirtans. This had happened to me also once. We had a bus program and we came to Dharamshala, and then so many young monks came to us who I think were a little footloose. They wanted to travel and they said, can we join the Hare Krishna movement and travel with you all over the world? And I said, I'm not taking you along if His Holiness doesn't give His permission, the Dalai Lama. Go back to the Dalai Lama and asked him. And the Dalai Lama knew us, and he said, no problem, you can travel with the Hare Krishnas. But the leader of this particular Buddhistic group of which I'm talking was not as enlightened, perhaps, or as tolerant, perhaps, as the Dalai Lama. And he felt threatened by the presence of this ecstatic personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what he did is he organized a plate of food and said, this is what we will serve you. It is Mahaprasadam. It is highly sanctified food. Now, what he had mixed in the food was, he had sprinkled it with alcohol and he had put meat, because he figured if later Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was found to eat, putting this in apostrophe, impure food, the rigid society of his times would call him impure and would, you know, not take him serious. So it is described when the plate was brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this toxic food, he was just about to eat it. He was always in ecstasy. And all of a sudden, an eagle swooped down, took the plate, flew high in the sky with the plate, and then let it fall out of the claws, and it came sailing down and unfortunately landed right on the head of this Buddhistic acharya, who then fainted. Mahaprabhu was very concerned, oh no, no, and the monks were also in great shock, our leader is dying. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should all chant the sacred names of the Lord in his ears and he will be fine. So they did this. The Buddhistic monks came and chanted Hare Krishna to their leader, and he woke up from his fainting spell and came back and regretted his mistakes, his slightly sectarian animosity. We may say today with our enlightened mind, oh, this is, now we're entering the difficult area of religious propaganda and polemics. Maybe it didn't happen like that. May that be as it is. My point is, different groups had contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in the contact they changed and took to his, I would say, transcendental, transdisciplinary process of singing the holy names. We hear that Muslims, whom you can still see today in India, started to take up the chanting of the holy name. There are still these communities who chant to this day. And we even hear that the animals and plants were affected by his chanting. There is this one dog who is famously quoted. He came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu threw him a little coconut and then said, "Chant Hare Krishna." The dog started to race on the hind legs and began to wave back and forth in the ecstatic kirtans of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like this. Plants who came in contact with him started to blossom and have flowers. In this way, Mahaprabhu's influence moved in concentric circles, which soon covered the whole spiritual scene of India. Doesn't mean that everyone became a Gaudiya Vaishnava. That was not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose, to convert anyone. But everyone became enlightened in the who had contact with him, in the universal and non-sectarian principles of his ecstatic movement. That is the principles of love, divine love, which is beyond the limited love of the body and beyond the limited love of the mind. This year I was in Hollywood and I gave lectures in Hollywood and I met a few very well-known actors. They have requested me to keep their name and not talk about it. Very famous. You will have seen them and heard them for sure. Even I knew them. You must know, in Hollywood they have a different, altogether different ethical codex. Because I think they are acting in the movies and have, in a way, intimate contact with so many people. Their whole understanding of partnership and so on is different than the conventional understanding. In other words, they have many partners with whom they talk. So one of these Hollywood stars who told me about this said, "You know what I have noticed in my life is that romantic love, which is known amongst in the human world, is only this small." And she made this window, short window. Where's the love which we can experience in bhakti? She made this gesture. It's so vast and so universal. It is this, my dear listeners, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought into this world, this love of God. And therefore, no matter in what spiritual lineages the people practiced, if they were Shaktas or tribals or moguls and so on, even animals and plants, this transcendental love of God had bridged the gaps which were there between them, so that a more universal community where external differences did not matter at all any longer was created. And in social theory you call this a meme. I can only tell you it's cultural units. What it means is, look at our small community. We, for instance, when we come together, then we ask, what can we do? And we say, well, I guess we can sing together and we can eat sanctified food together. I asked one person, you have a marriage tomorrow, what will you do? Well, we will sing together and have food together. This is a certain way, which is not just a, it's a cultural, I would say, a cultural thing. It's a unit which are duplicating and popping up wherever people follow this. Or you could say, I'm coming from a time where there was, the young people believed very much in free expression, and they would have music where this was celebrated. And therefore, when I meet a person from my generation who took part in the particular cultural expression where I took part, there is in us something which we have adopted, which has been with us, a cultural meme. You spell it M-E-M-E. You have to look it up most properly. A unique thing, a unit that is done. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's universal love, you can also understand it as a unit which is going through the centuries, so that even now in the year, 2022, by social convention we are in 2022, we also participate in the particular cultural expression, but also in the experience of this, what we call Krishna Bhava, an inner feeling of being close to God. No? He was so powerful, this is my point, that his influence extended in his time through the different, let us say, social groups, even animals, and beyond his time, it's built into different cultures. We even saw today, who was it? Lalita Gopi is your name? Lalita Gopi from the Ukraine. We can see her dress reminds us, we'll have to be very careful nowadays, so of a certain type of way people dress in these parts. I don't want to give it names because you never know. Maybe someone is offended when it's not the right name. And her music was there, but she had caught the essence. Although from a different culture, she sings the mantra as we also do. It is the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. What were his secrets? What did he bring to the community that expanded beyond? I would say there are two things which he brought. One item was totally spiritual. I will not talk so much about it. And the items in the other category were a particular culture, a spiritual culture, which ensured that his movement would continue on through the ages. The spiritual items, I think you know, are the holy name. He chanted the holy name in small groups, but there are descriptions in this work where we find 100,000 of people chanting. I have always asked myself, because I am sometimes invited to big programs, how did they do it without a sound amplification, you know, with microphones and electricity and big loudspeakers? Well, the idea is they didn't need that, because it was a spiritual vibration, totally spiritual, that reached first the hearts of the people who were in this kirtan. Then they felt this ecstatic devotion which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave and expressed it in a lot of dancing. And he, of course, discussed the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. We will not talk today about this. But the other thing which he did is he built strong communities of bhakti. And the reason why these communities were so strong and so powerful that they survived everything was because he put some three very powerful principles into these communities. Principles that if we learn them will work also in our time. I would first of all like to say that communities and relationships of course suffer because of the different outlooks and the ego. Maybe you have heard there is one actor called Woody Allen. Woody Allen is also a producer, I think. He says, me and my wife have different times when we work. We have different times when we sleep. We drive different cars. We eat at different times. We do everything we can to keep our relationship together. You don't get it? I will express it in the words of Schopenhauer. That is clearer. What strange people are we human beings? When we are apart from each other, we want to be in community. And when we are in community, we want to come apart from each other. And he said, in this way, we are like porcupines, Stachelschweine. When porcupines feel the winter, they feel very cold alone. So they want to all come together. They come together. And the moment they come together, these spikes, also die Stacheln, begin to pick each other, and they run again immediately apart from each other. Community life is not so easy. The Bhagavatam says that God Himself becomes pleased when human beings are able to live in community. You know, there are these amazing exalted sons, they're called prachetas, and they go and perform austerities together, and then at the end Lord Vishnu appears to him and says, I'm so much pleased by you because you're dealing with each other in mutual friendship. So for this, you absolutely need to have two values, humility and forgiveness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it very clear that the motto for all of his devotees are to be more humble than the straw in the grass, and to be forbearing and forgiving. It says the human being gets, and then forgets. An enlightened person gives, and then forgives. Beautiful, no? We get, and then we forget. And when we are enlightened, then we give, and then we forgive when others are not there. This is one value. The other, which I want to express a little bit more clear, is compassion and care. This is very important. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met his dear devotee, Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur said, Mahaprabhu, I have a great anxiety in my heart. I worry. I'm thinking that soon you will end your pastimes in this world and you will go. But how will I tolerate when you are no longer on the planet? I will just kandia, it means I will cry. My desire is that you allow me to leave this world before you leave this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him. He loved Haridas Thakur and he didn't say anything and he just left. The next day he saw Haridas Thakur was already old. He was not able to get up from his bed. And Haridas Thakur again said, I have this great anxiety. If you have left the world and I stay alone back, I will not be able to tolerate it. So therefore, please allow me to leave before you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so be it. And he sat before Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur, who was, as I said, he had been laying down already since a few weeks, he was very old. Haridas Thakur looked at him, at his face, which was soothing like the full moon, and he cried, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And while crying or calling out the name of the Lord, Haridas Thakur left his body. When he had left the body, Gauranga took the emaciated, abgemagert body of his dear devotee and he brought him to the ocean. And what did he do? He bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the ocean waves. Afterwards, what did he do? He took his hands, which were very big, he had a very large body, and he dug into the sand a hole. And he placed Haridas Thakur in Samadhi in the hole. Then he built something over the Samadhi. Then he went and begged from the shopkeepers of the Puri town nice prasadam. And he organized and distributed the feast in memory of Haridas Thakur. This is how much care and compassion he had. My dear devotees, you can't have a community if there is no compassion and if there is no care. It says people don't care how much you know. It's absolutely irrelevant for people. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. No? In spiritual communities, you need mothers. Gokrishna and our team, we went to the La Verna, that's the mountain where Saint Francis of Assisi spent 40 days in seclusion many times during his life. Now the last time when he did it, let me explain to you. These in the Franciscan order, people would go for 40 days in seclusion and they always had a mother. A mother is a brother who would take care of them by giving them food, by giving them good counsel, by maybe by taking care of their physical needs. And the mother, so to say, of Saint Francis was Brother Leo. I'm sorry, Brother Leo. And Brother Leo brought to the saint everything that he needed: food, care. He took care of his, you know, when he had a wound here or there. He took 40 days fasting marathon is not for beginners, you know. So he took care. I think in spiritual communities we need more mothers who take care of the others. See, what I have learned in my own efforts to share Krishna consciousness, that if I just love to share Krishna consciousness, that's not so effective as when I love the people to whom I share this spiritual knowledge. Because people don't care how much you know until they know that you really care for them. The opposite of compassion and care is unfortunately found in many spiritual communities. It's judgment. Judging. Oh, you did. And blaming. No? In this connection, I heard a very nice discussion by Keshava Swami. There was once a king who decided to distribute a bowl of khichdi. Khichdi is nourishing food, to every single citizen in his country. So one more, he announced the day, the whole kingdom was there, and he was there, a huge cooking pot was there, and he served the khichdi. He gave it out, here, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you. At that moment, and after some time, not at that moment, after 2 hours or so, I don't know, a big bird flew over the palace. That bird had just caught a snake, a poisonous snake. The snake was dead. The bird had caught its natural food. So when the bird flew over the king, from the tooth of the poison snake, one drop of poison fell in the bowl. And the king had not seen it. He gave the bowl to one of his people. The person ate it and immediately died. Ooh. A person. This was murder in the king's palace while distributing prasada. Food. Yes, this was not an easy thing. Yamaraj, the god of justice, with his secretary, came at the spot, and the secretary said, "Who gets the karma for doing this violent activity? Is the king getting the karma because he put the food in the bowl and he gave it to the person who died from it?" "No," said Yamaraj, "the king definitely doesn't get the karma because he didn't know about this." Then said Chittagupta, I need to know for the records, "Is the bird getting the karma?" "No, he also didn't know that he was flying over the food distribution area and that there was some poison left in the poisonous snake." Then said Chittagupta, "I just need to know where the karma goes. Is it then the snake?" "No, the snake was dead." At this moment, they noticed an interesting scene. An old lady who had been always in a bad mood, you know, got up and just lashed out on the king. "You rascal, you demon, you rakshasa, you killed a human being." Yamaraj looked at Chittagupta. "Now we know where the karma goes." It is a fact karma, all these bad effects which come in human interactions, they go always to those who are judgmental and critical. This is a subject that is discussed at length in the Mahabharata. The critic gets the karma. So, because his intention is to hurt, that is his intention. So, I remember once my godbrother Syamasundar, who was a drug dealer before he became a devotee. He was apprehended in the prison, and he wrote. He had a phone call with Prabhupada and said, "Oh, Prabhupada, I did a stupid thing in the past." Prabhupada said, "I also do sometimes stupid things." Mm-hmm. "No," said Syamasundar, "Prabhupada, I'm now in prison." Prabhupada answered, "Don't worry a bit. Krishna was born in the prison." "No, you don't understand. I was dealing drugs." Prabhupada said, "In my life, I was also..." Now I have to say, Prabhupada was what is it? We say in German, ein Drogist, ein Apotheker, pharmacist. In my life, I was a pharmacist. I was selling medicine, you know. The point here is, usually you would judge a person who goes into prison for an unethical and immoral act. Prabhupada thought at this time empathy is much more appropriate than judgment. How often is this in your life, that you see someone as suffering, and at that time you form some judgmental response? Isn't it better when you want to make a spiritual community of compassion and care, that you think how you can be empathetic and help the person? Yes. The last thing, last before the last, is culture and etiquette. My dear devotees, there is a very interesting episode in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at a place called Tota Gopinath. Who has visited Tota Gopinath? Wonderful. And he invited Sanatan Goswami to come and take his meal with him for noon prasadam. And Sanatan Goswami came much later than expected, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "By what route did you come? You should have come much earlier." And Sanatan said, I took the long road, where I went over the beach." And and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at his feet. There were blisters on his feet, because at noontime, the beach of Puri is so hot that you can bake a potato on the beach. Really, it's not a place to go barefoot. "Why did you go over the beach? It's so hot. Why not the shady path?" And Sanatan said, "I did many bad things in my life, and if I would have gone the shorter path, the shady path, I would have passed by the gate of the temple where the servants of the Lord come in and out. And I did not want my polluted self, my polluted being, to pollute these servants who go to the Lord and serve him on the altar." You could say from your Western philosophy, here Sanatan Goswami follows the rules of ordinary society, and that is that priests must be very clean and should not be disturbed and should not be polluted. Perhaps he thought also, because he was in the service of a Muslim ruler who had attacked the temples, that he has no right now to mix with these servants of the Lord who walk in the temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very interesting. He said, Maryada, the respect which you show, is part of culture, and Vaishnavism is based on spiritual culture. I want you to look around for a moment and look at the, and now we look at Kanapriya. That's also nice to see. But look around at the people who are in this room. Are these people with whom you would ordinarily have association? If I'm speak just very, very, very honest with all of you, most probably not. I had other people with whom I associated. There's so much differences, for instance, between Indians and Americans. We have Germans here, but they are a little like Americans. The American will always speak his mind. What is on his mind? He will be loud. And the Indian will think, oh, how uncultured. When there's a business meeting, the American business people talk, and the Indians will all go after the meeting in a corner and talk between them what is to be done. Different cultures, different habits. When I go to London and I ask an Indian a question, he will say like this, and I always know he's saying no. Or he will say, you gave a wonderful lecture, Maharaj. And I know he is saying to me, indirectly, it was very badly structured. Because they don't speak their mind. It's a different culture. But you have to understand, you can understand everything if you are in that culture, and you can understand the subtleties, the politeness, the sweetness of interaction. I'm speaking of, there are cultural differences. There are books written on it between how Chinese see the world and how it's usually always about Americans and Chinese, Americans and Japanese. Americans don't always do very good because they're so loud. And so we need to transcend this. And Vaishnava etiquette, or a spiritual form of culture, can help us to not fall into the pit of rubbing our edges because of different cultures. I have found a text which you will like very much about this. What is Vaishnava culture? What is spiritual culture? If you have none, if you have no spiritual culture, I guarantee you that you will have problems with each other because you are so different, and you will rub each other and so on. Therefore, Vaishnava etiquette is so important. In the Bhagavatam, we find what is spiritual culture. Here, I read it to you. Let me read it nicely. That Parasparanu Katanam Pavanam Bhagavat Yasha Mitoratir mitas tushtir nivriti mita atmana. Kalsha sometimes must be learned. So the text says here, one should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by coming together with them and then chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. When devotees do this, they develop loving friendship between themselves and they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the spirit of rivalry and competition, which is so prominent between men, you know, that goes away. They feel happiness and satisfaction without rivalry. And then, by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when there is this culture, Vaishnav culture, where we come together and sing about Krishna, talk about Krishna, develop devotional friendships on this basis, there will be a very interesting result. One devotee, the result is they will give up their sense gratification. One devotee will say to another, oh, you have given up sense gratification. Starting today, I shall also give it up. We don't just mean dietary rules, you know, that we exchange, okay, you look so slim, what is your good diet tip to me? No, not this type of sense gratification. It's that we give up these things which are really very bad for us. Eating is only bad for the shape of the body, but there are habits which we have that are bad for the soul. And in spiritual communities where there is a culture, an etiquette, a way of dealing with each other, despite the differences, the result is we can give up the harmful things in our personalities and move forward with strength. I want to end here. The last item of spiritual culture is a attitude of service. This attitude of service will make a spiritual community very strong. We are reminded of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Puri, followed a very strict schedule. I've written it down for you. The morning schedule I don't have. He visited the temple usually, but then he had a kirtan. They did a long kirtan, dance. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much in the bhava that he cried and his tears wetted the garments of his devotees. Then Mahaprabhu would take a feast, and then after the feast he would rest. At that time his servant Govinda would come and massage his feet and his legs. So one day, this is our day, one day, my dear everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laid down before Govinda came in his room, and he laid just before the door. So when Govinda came to apply his massage, he couldn't get into the room because the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying before. Now in spiritual culture, you don't step over each other. And Govinda said, could you please just move a little to the side, because I need to go in the room to massage you. Chaitanya said, I'm so tired, so tired. You just somehow, you decide if you want to come in the room, you will step over me, or if you not want to step over me, you decide. So Govinda took his garment like this, put it over the body of Mahaprabhu, and then stepped over it and started to massage Mahaprabhu. While the massage was there, Mahaprabhu very nicely dozed off. Govinda had the habit that after the massage, at the end of the massage, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would fully fall asleep always. He would get out of the room and eat himself. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after an hour awoke, he saw Govinda sitting in the room. He said, Govinda, you're still sitting in the room. Why didn't you get up after the massage like you do every day and go to eat your meal? Govinda said, my dear Lord, for your service, I'm willing to even commit an offense by stepping over you. But for my service or for my sense gratification, I'm not willing to commit the offense to step over you again. Can you understand? This is a service spirit. You are willing to give something for the benefit of others. This is a very important part of spiritual community. My dear everyone, if you can have this service attitude towards each other, you will create a sublime Vaikuntha atmosphere. It will be very, very nice. And don't forget, give, and then forgive. Because sometimes people are not our people. They are so much caught in their own little world, and they cannot leave it. No, they are prisoners there. I want to end this program. I want you to ask yourself a question. How much are you a community builder? A community builder of the community of bhakti. By living these principles. There was one thing, the spiritual secret, it was holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there were three simple rules for community building. One is compassion and care. The other was culture and etiquette. And that helps always. And the last is a service attitude. Very nice, simple things. I think you can all keep them. Three things we can easily remember, we human beings. When we are interested in them, of course, only then. So compassion and care, culture and etiquette, and service attitude. Please think about being a community builder. Then you will have something very important to contribute. I want not to eat. that comes later. Maybe I'm getting some prasadam. I want to end. I remember something Keshava Maharaj said in the end. When you are in spiritual community, there is something going on in the community which is much more important than just hanging out together. No? It is in spiritual community you are very quickly purified, as all of us know. This idea of purifying our heart, becoming the better version that we are already in a spiritual sense. That is what happens in the community. Once this American president, this is my story, I admit it's a little wordy story, but it's good. JFK, John Friedrich Kennedy. So this John Friedrich, Fitzgerald, okay, not Friedrich. John F. Kennedy, he visited the NASA at the time when there was this race between the Russians and Americans, who would be the first on the moon. And he went to the bathroom to answer nature's call. And there he saw a very blissful toilet cleaner. And when he was done, he said, "You look so happy." "Yes, but you are cleaning toilets. That's not a very happy job." "No, no, you don't understand, Mr. President. I'm not cleaning toilets. I help to bring a man on the moon." So this is a very nice thing in spiritual community. We are not just here to somehow, I mean, I was too long in America, so I will speak American English to you, to hang out with each other or to be the, no, we are here together to purify our hearts and should learn in this community how to associate with each other, how to bring in these spiritual principles that will make our spiritual communities the best adventure ever. I wish you all the best. I will end here and Hare Krishna. This is, by the way, are we finished with the internet? We are still on. I'm finished. I just want to end this program by singing with you one more. We have learned a new raga in Italy. We have learned it. It's the raga we sing during this time. It we sing only for a few minutes. I request you for a moment to sit tall. That's always good. Open your chest a little bit because we want to breathe fresh air. And then please sing very meditatively. I forgot, it's Gora meditation. We didn't do any meditation today. Oh, Dies und Dates hören von eurer. Wir haben uns in Berlin, glaube ich, kennengelernt. Ja, sehr gut. Ja, I thank all of you very much for participating, Maribor, for participating in this evening. I'm not sure, it might be my last evening here for this year, for this year, because after lockdown I was traveling like the wind, without any national limitations, and we will be traveling to the farm now for the festival of Lord Nisshinagiri, and then after a few days, we will actually travel to Split, to Slovenia, and we are also invited to go to the pyramids. There are pyramids in Bosnia, and we will check them if they are. I heard they are very. They offer a mystery to archaeological findings. And for a few hours we will be there. We have programs in Sarajevo mostly. And then after that, there is one brief conference where Gadata is, and some programs in Berlin. And then I will fly to India. You know why? I'm actually leaving the world behind. I'm closing the door behind me. For a whole month I will be absolute in seclusion, like monks should be regularly. And then we will open actually the Govardhan Retreat Center. We built a place for you which has 240 beds at the site of Giriraj Govardhan. And we will open this. It was a long odyssey, but finally we were first allowed a cow research center, and now it's a retreat center. This is India. Everything is possible if you know the right people. So yes, it will be there, and some other programs are in India. So on. But then I will come back sometimes in December, and yeah, and very, very inspired. There are a few programs in Berlin before I go to India, but I don't know them by heart. They are there. Okay, so now we will serve you all nice feast we have cooked for all of you. I hope you will enjoy it. I will just ask our Berlin friends, vielleicht, wir haben Deutsch konversiert, oder? Ja, ja. Wenn ihr vielleicht kurz braucht, dass wir uns begrüßen. Ja. Oops. So have a nice rest of the evening. Use your time well in this beautiful place, the Dharma Castle. And see you all very soon again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.